Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Well, one of the things we're going to learn today is that, yes, we have lots of consultants here in the SBDC, the Small Business Development Centers, and they're spread out over multiple centers. But the one we all want to work in is the guy. This guy is in that center out in the Coachella Valley. Welcome, if you will. Hugo Loyola, welcome, sir, to the show.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
What's the weather today? We're doing this at the end of April. For those who hear it in the future, what's it like in beautiful, another sunny day in the Palm Desert or Palm Springs area?
That is correct. I am a full-time resident of Palm Springs, and today is just another sunny, bright day, like every other day.
Just another day. He says, I get a tan just walking down the street here.
It is true, though. All I have to do is just walk and, you know, you just get blessed with the sun and this fantastic weather.
Well, it ain't fantastic here in Orange County where we're based. We stream out of the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center, normally a cool place, but way too cool today. Overcast, drizzly. It's like way too much of that this year. I came from the Midwest a million years ago. I didn't move out here for drizzle. I could have stayed back there. I want what you got all there. Yeah. All right, so let's walk through. You're a consultant for the Coachella Valley Small Business Development Center. Where are you guys located? Are you, you have a very small office out there, but a big footprint. Where are you guys physically at?
So this particular center out here in the Coachella Valley is hosted by Riverside County, the Economic Development Department.
Okay.
And they are like physically located in the city of Indio.
Okay.
On Jefferson Street.
Okay.
I am one of a few consultants in this particular part of the network, but I work with clients across the Orange County and the Inland Empire. In fact, I have a few clients that come to us from LA and San Diego.
Wow.
And it's just, even some of the Central California clients sometimes show up in our programming and our seminars. And often I get to talk to folks that are not necessarily in this area physically.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you just limited to, I didn't think so, because full disclosure, when I joined the SBDC as a consultant, and I mostly do podcasting and digital media and stuff like that. That's mostly the people they send me because this is my full-time gig here at OC Talk Radio. I shadowed Hugo. And I'm telling you, I learned so much listening to him interact with people, the kinds of questions he asked, and the broad diversity of questions that you got to be prepared to answer. Before we go into your current work, let's talk about your original work. Where did you come from? What did you do for years? And how did you get to the SBDC?
How did I get here? Well, so I'm originally from Mexico City. I was born and raised in Mexico City. I'm a child of the 70s.
Okay.
It was a great place to live and grow up. I did go to school in Mexico City. And
what did your parents do? What world did you live in Mexico City?
So my family is pretty much scattered across Mexico. My parents no longer live in the city, though. They took refuge up in the mountains, about 45 minutes up north, Mexico City.
All right.
But I do have my siblings. I have two brothers and three sisters, and they're all over the place in Mexico. I'm the only person in my family that came to live and work in the U.S.
Okay.
It was immediately after my college years that I landed a job with a publishing company. And full disclosure, the company is no longer in existence, but the imprint, the branding was very popular and very well known. It was Prentice Hall.
Prentice and Hall, that's a big deal, yeah.
It was a big company.
I didn't know they're no longer around because they were, don't they do academic books and stuff too? Or
that's correct, right. That is correct. That is my background essentially in educational publishing. So that company was acquired by a larger corporation that was based out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And with that acquisition, I had the opportunity to apply for and got a job as an international marketing manager, but the job was based out of New York City. Mm. So I was very quickly relocating from Mexico City to New York City, where I lived and I worked for almost 20 years.
Really? You've lived, did you live in the city or out
in the city? I was there prior to 9/11 and post 9/11. It was a very different place.
Yeah.
But I have to say that, you know, in those very formative years of my career in educational publishing, I had the opportunity to travel extensively. I did part of that work for a commercial publisher, a publisher that does things for a profit. But I also, in the last part of my working for an educational publishing was done for an academic publisher, which is Cambridge University Press.
Okay.
And that
another
is
another big brand here, right?
Yeah. It's a global non-for-profit organization. And, you know, thanks to those companies, I had the ability to essentially travel the world.
Wow.
And I was, I guess, fortunate enough to be inserted in multiple facets and aspects of the entire business. Mm-hmm. And that's where I sort of learned a lot of the craft of the the different functional areas.
Ask questions and listen carefully and all that stuff here, right?
All of that. And so, you know, with that, it was a terrific part of my life. I did work for these companies in multiple capacities, mostly executive management. And then it was time for me to make a decision, and I was ready to start my own little publishing outfit. Mm-hmm. And I no longer needed to be in New York. I could do this pretty much from anywhere. So
you don't need to suffer through the winters and the craziness and the congestion.
No craziness of, you know, the traffic and the bad weather, and particularly those long winters that I no longer miss.
Yeah. Me too. I'm from Michigan, so yeah.
There you go. So, you know, I had the opportunity to come out west. We had some really good friends in this area. I had visited a couple of times, and it was an easy decision to make because...
New York, Palm Springs. Let's see, which am I going to live in?
Yeah. And you give up your small one-bedroom apartment for a nicer, much larger space out here in the beautiful desert. So I came here to essentially continue my work and launch my small business publishing company. We do resources for teachers. And in doing so, I learned that there were a lot of resources available to small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spanish is my native language.
Yeah, right.
And I'm fully bilingual in that aspect.
Can I ask you one question that says, I've never asked anybody on the air, but I'm going to ask you because I'm always curious.
Yes.
Your first language was Spanish.
Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And then you learned, when did you learn English? Early on or later on?
No, it was actually in my college years, though. I was literally pushed to learn some of the English language because of the work that I was doing for the college in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And having a scholarship, the Ministry of Education forces you to spend a number of hours doing work for one of their agencies.
Sort of a payback, right?
And mine was banking. So I had to literally pick up a copy of a dictionary and start dabbling with a dictionary and learning some phrases.
Yeah.
And so that was the starting point for me in English.
So the question I always ask people who are multilingual, because I'm so impressed. I barely can speak English, much less two languages. And I always ask people, when you forget about when you're with family, I'm sure you revert back to whatever your native tongue is, but when you sleep, how do you dream? When people talk to you in your dreams, did they talk to you in Spanish or English or a mixture of both?
A mixture of both. I do have dreams in both languages. It's crazy sometimes. But also, because you have to turn on that switch very quickly, the work that we do at SBDC forces you to turn that switch on very quickly because we assist a lot of clients in Spanish.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, to me, it's second nature. I can turn that switch.
So before we get into the work you do, so then make the leap from large academic printing company, publishing companies,
mm-hmm.
to your own smaller imprint, mm-hmm. doing mm-hmm. specialized stuff. how does that lead into being a general business consultant for all these, from startups to big companies, all the people that come to the small business development centers for help? Yeah. How did you get into that?
So again, it's a result of the learning, the daily learning, right? Because as a small business owner, I had to learn how to do things by myself. I had to learn that I needed a business license. I needed to learn how to get access to working capital. Mm-hmm. I needed to learn how to keep, you know, the bookkeeping and the financial records and all of that.
Right.
And so, you know, you almost literally have to learn on the go and learn everything that you need to know as a small business owner in order to operate, if not a super successful business, at least a business
to survive.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
Sustainable. Yeah.
Right. And I totally agree. I've run this thing for 15 years, Associate Talk Radio. That doesn't mean I'm good with books and accounting and all this stuff, or even marketing and stuff. I know something that I know more about, but I know radio. I know, you know, how to create and tell stories and use this medium. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I know how to make a business out of it.
Correct. My very first website that I had to build for the business, you know, it was literally me watching videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And learning how to do things. So, you know, I'm a lifelong learner, if you will. And so, you know, you've got to really think about this when you're starting a business venture, mm-hmm. that there's a lot of things that we don't know. And, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to ask, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't be afraid to seek assistance.
But where? That's what people are always scratching their head. I said, well, start here. Here's a good place to do it.
Is the best thing for us is the Small Business Development Center, the best kept secret, though.
I think so. Well, that's what we're going to talk about, the work that you do here. So you're out in the Coachella Valley. Yep. There are, I always forget how many, Michael get mad at me here, 6 or 8 centers plus specialty centers and stuff here. We've interviewed a bunch of them here. The bigger centers are like at Cal State Fullerton. That's where the main office is. And then one's in Riverside. A lot of, usually colleges, is one here at UCI and some other things. What is it that you do? You're what they really call a generalist. There are many people like me that are sort of specialists. They have some special skill. We get called on periodically to help do that. You do it all. How is that different? And what kinds of clients do you see? Give me a sampling. Give me a range of.
So I see a wider range of clients at every level of their business journey, at every level of their entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I have done work. If you recall, when you and I were sort of working together and I kind of took you under my wing.
You did. You were very kind to me. Yes, I thank you.
I was working for the Digital Marketing Center.
Right, which is here in Orange County. Right.
Helping clients with digital marketing, everything from website to basic digital marketing aspects of the business. But more importantly, the work that I do day in and day out really puts me in front of people that are in every level of their entrepreneurship journey. So I help a lot of people with things as, you know, how to write a business plan, how to do financial projections correctly. I help them understand the kinds of resources that they'll need to get started, just to get started. Just to open the doors, you know, figuring things out. It's really important for everyone. And I have these conversations daily with people that are thinking about starting a business. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's dive in and let's figure it out. What made you think about this business idea?
And let's talk about that for a second, because I watched you quietly, shadowed you. And of course, we're doing a lot of this on Zoom. Do you do all of it on Zoom, or do you have people?
Mostly. Yeah. I mostly do it on Zoom. And you know, the pandemic really forced us to reconfigure the way we do business and interact with clients day in and day out. And so to me, this has been a little bit of a saving grace, if you will, because I do get the chance to help multiple clients every day via Zoom.
And they don't have to drive there, or you have to drive somewhere. And
the timing couldn't work better for me. And so this is a really good medium. And we've just had to learn how to master it.
All right. I guess my question is this: you're dealing with all these people, and here's what I observe. You were really good at trying to prune the tree. That's what I'll call it. I want a new website, and I need to do this, and 1,000 things. And you're like, well, let's get back to basics. What is it you do? Well, I do all sorts of things, 10 things. Well, what's the main thing you do? And who do you do it for? I do it for everybody. I know, but who are most of your customers? Everybody, when they start a small business, I can do anything for anybody. Yep. And the result is they end up doing nothing for nobody, or it's very confused and chaotic here. It's not sustainable. You have to find something that, start with what you do best. You can add to it and you can grow into other areas, but don't do it all at once.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that assessment, Paul. And we have clients that come to us specifically in that situation. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, we've launched our product, our service. We've been in business for quite some time, but they haven't reached that level of success because evidently, and the results of assessments will prove that they don't have a focus. They don't know who the target audience is.
Clearly.
They still can't quite verbalize to you what is the problem that they're solving. Mm-hmm. I have this conversation with a lot of clients and I ask them this question is, if you could tell me as clearly as possible, what is the problem that you solve with your product or your service or your combination of product and services? Mm-hmm. If you can verbalize that, that is the basis for a fantastic marketing message. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to help you understand your target audience, the problem that you're solving, and how your product and your service becomes a solution that you can present to your clients through benefits.
I'll go one step further. Then if you want to build a website, you know what the website should be based around. This problem, this group of customers here, this solution that your service that you're offering, not just something generic and we do this and it's over here and over on the side. And on the weekends, we wash cars and we also do this over here. If you confuse a customer, you lose a customer. I look at the websites and they're confusing. I won't mention the names because I don't want to embarrass them, but a couple of clients I shadowed you with, a couple of them were bigger clients. These weren't all just mom and pop startups. They'd been around for a while and they came to the SBCEC, I think too late. They're struggling, they're failing. They're falling down and they're suddenly looking for a magic bullet to, you know, solve their problem, but kill the pain here. And here's what I saw. This is what you helped get to. Chaos. Sometimes we started off doing this, but now we also do this and we also do this. And we think this is a great area. So we've expanded into this and we're throwing some money over here and we hired somebody to do this. And it's like, it's small. There's only so many hours in the day and so much money, and you're spreading it around chaotically. Your ad's chaotic. Your marketing's chaotic. Your focus is chaotic. You're jumping anywhere you think you can make some money here, and you're struggling at all of it. And you start, let's get back to basics. Let's figure out who you are and what do you do.
That is a second set of clients that I help on a daily basis. So these would be the clients that I would consider, they have some kind of a pain.
Yeah.
And we need to figure it out what that pain is caused by, and not to do the anecdote of a doctor, giving you some kind of formula that can help you solve it. But if we can help the client understand what the problem is or the series of problems happen to be, then we can start thinking about what the solutions could be.
And one at a time, do them in a linear
fashion.
One
at a time.
Right.
So everything's got to follow a certain priority, right? It's like you can't just, wave a magic wand and make things go and work perfectly. You've got to have a plan. You've got to understand that your resources are limited. And therefore, although you want to do many things, you might not be able to do everything at once. So, working with clients on a plan that will put them back on their feet to, not just economic solvency so that they can do things that they want to do with the business, but on the path for growth is the most important thing that we can do.
Well, you're because really good at doing it. And the proof is not only in your longevity and success. How many years you've been at the center out there? I forgot.
So I started in 2020 and it was just right before the pandemic.
Right.
My director here in Coachella Valley had invited me to do a few things with SBDC in Spanish.
That's where everybody loves it because they don't seem to have enough Spanish speakers in the network.
There you go. Yeah.
You really get them. Get Hugo. He does it.
And so I started Right before the height of the pandemic. And of course, when the height of the pandemic took place and we were helping people, it was all hands on deck.
Yes, right.
We had to learn, you know, how to navigate the waters of loans, you know, the PPP, the EIDL.
All the assistance plans that were suddenly in place, and we were running those or advising those or helping. That was a huge burst of activity for the centers here, because
all the folks that didn't have a website, they couldn't see clients face to face, and they needed to have some kind of a digital presence or footprint.
Yes.
So it was all hands on deck every day. There were days though that I started really early in the morning and finished late at night. Mm-hmm. And I was also doing half the days on Saturdays because the demand was incredible.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't help everyone, but we try to help as many people as we could.
Because everybody's screaming for help. I need financial help. I need digital help. I can't run it. I've got to shift my whole business model to some more of an online offering here. Well, the proof is that you also, I was at the big regional thing when you won this award. You won the START Network Award. Tell me what that is and why that's so important.
Well, it is hugely important because it is a recognition of one's work by your peers.
That's the key, right?
And that is everything. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate, Paul, to work with incredible folks in this network. I mean, every SBDC should be so proud to have this level
wonderful,
of talent.
Very talented people who've done big jobs. I always think of the woman. I forgot her name now. Was it Carrie Armstrong that ran the Brea Mall? Or I don't know if I forgot. I get them all mixed up in my head, but go listen to the episodes here. We've had people and do have people who've had very powerful positions, maybe still do, but offer their help as a give back, as an add on to whatever they offer here. You work for Prentice Hall. That's big deal. And for
and I don't want to think about it in those terms other than to say that work kind of prepared me in some ways mm-hmm. for what I'm doing right now as a business consultant. And you're right, the level of expertise, knowledge, and talent in the network is off the charts. Mm-hmm. And I am a lifelong learner. I love to learn stuff from my peers. Mm-hmm. And I'm always listening, I'm paying attention to how they do certain things, because then that really prepares me to assist clients in different areas, mm-hmm. in different aspects of their business. So that's how I go about it. And, you know, I feel really fortunate to do this.
Do people come to you, to the centers, just because they're getting ready to launch and they need help? That's clearly a group that comes. Mm-hmm. Or is it, I see too many that come too late at the end of the life cycle. They've been struggling and they say, well, what else can I try? Here, I'll try this free service over here. Maybe they'll work miracles. And in many cases, you can't. It's too late. Yeah. They're too confused. They're too deeply in debt. Or sometimes you can right the ship. It seems like there's an in-between point where you're successful and growing. And like you would go hire a high-powered business coach or a business consultant, here's a free one. With some very powerful people in it, very specialized people who can help you figure out some extra piece of the puzzle to take it further. I don't think we get enough of those. We get the early stage or the late stage, but it's that growth stage that we're really designed to help.
Yeah. And, you know, those people that are seeking growth, and growth can mean a lot of things for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You add a new product to your product line, you add a new service to your service line, you hire someone, mm-hmm. You get access to working capital. I mean, you open a second location. Growth can mean a lot of things for a lot of folks. And yes, we are going to be able to help clients grow once they pass that early stage mm-hmm. of, you know, startup. And now they have some activity that we can use and measure and analyze to figure it out where the opportunities for their growth happen to
right.
be and what could be the best strategy for their growth.
Right.
Because not everything has to be organic, right?
Yes, right.
And so, you know, identifying that and helping people chart a plan for growth is super cool.
And I think that too many people think of this as another government-funded startup thing. And there's some other ones, I won't quote them out here or something, but there are people that will help you, like you said, write a business plan, get some of the basic things started. And you say, great, now I help them launch my business. I'm never going to see them again. And they can go on to somebody else. We do that. But it's that growth person, because we get funded. Our only ask is our only way of payment is metrics, is to show that you either grew your sales, added to your staff, or went and secured more financing. We're real good at all those three things. Here you are with a business, it's been around for a while, and you want to take it to the next level, hire, increase your sales, or get some more capital to build something, do something. We excel at that. But I think too often we just get stuck in this idea it's a startup center. It's not.
Well, that's just it. And let's just not forget that it's not just one center, that we have multiple centers.
Yes.
And we have specialty centers.
Right.
So, you know,
contracting, import, export, other
sorts
of things.
Exactly. It happens that sometimes clients need assistance in other areas where I'm going to be able to bring in other experts to come in and help.
Yes.
Whether this is, you know, contracting with the government or getting access to financials or getting ready to do import export. I mean,
or getting ready to do your podcast. That's what we do here. Yeah. I'm with the digital center. All right. So you get more of the broad range than I do. And give me some stories. Give me a story or two that exemplifies what you do, or stories that stick out. I don't care. Just tell me a story.
All right. I'm going to tell you a story of a recent client who is going to be opening doors in the next month or so. Mm-hmm. And this is a client, and I'm not going to name names, but this is a client that has two business partners, and each come in with very different skill sets and different backgrounds. One is very good with numbers, very analytical. The other has expertise in managing a commercial kitchen.
Mm, okay.
And they are both sort of in the industry of gaming. They love games.
Gaming. All right.
So they needed access to working capital to open a facility where they can sell games, have a cafe, mm-hmm. and really cater to this particular group of people that are in this particular they have that interest.
Yeah.
So they came to us. We had an initial meeting. I understood what they were looking for. I helped them put together the plan, the projections, and then we started to look for ways to get them access to that working capital. Mm-hmm. And initially, the ask was for $350,000. Mm-hmm. We managed, SBDC managed to get them access to $271,000.
Wow. Was that a loan or a grant or a...
It's a loan. It's a commercial loan.
Right.
And so with $271,000, and obviously they're doing a little bit bootstrapping themselves.
Right.
They're now materializing their dream, and fairly soon they're going to be opening the doors to the public. They're in the last stage of getting the permits with the city and all of that. And so seeing this project from, it's a venture and it's in someone's mind.
It's a dream.
And then you kind of just get inserted there, and then you walk the walk with them through the entire process, and then it becomes a reality. And to me, it's the most rewarding thing that can happen as a business consultant.
I was going to say, is that the payoff to see it go from dream to reality?
Yeah, in many ways it is. You know, people that come in and say, I need to fill out a form, and I don't know how to fill out this form. You know, you have to be ready to say no problem. I mean, it doesn't matter what your level of technical expertise happens to be. If you need help with the PDA filling out a form, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's get together and let's work together on doing something like
that. Well, you were always so calm and patient. I wanted to jump in and say, well, what do you mean you don't know how to do it? What are you thinking to doing this? You don't even know what your plan is. You have no idea, and you're going to go into business. So you know how hard this is. And you're like, okay, all right, let's figure it out. Let's go back to square one. Let's start with this. Or you don't know the answer to that, we'll put that aside for a moment, but how about this? And you're so patient with these people. Oh, my God.
I take my chill pill every day, Paul.
I'll bet.
You don't know who you're going to get, right? And trust me, we've seen it all.
Oh,
we've seen it all.
I'm telling you, because some of them are just dreaming, and they have no idea. Somebody needs a reality check to tell them here.
Quick, fun story.
Okay.
Client that comes in, signs up for one of our training programs, seeks the one-on-one. we're going to start working on a business plan, and the business plan is all over the place.
I've seen those.
And he wants to do a lot of things, but the impetus for that plan was he wanted to start a political party.
He wants to start a political party. Oh, well, that's easy to do.
You know, and so it's like, you know, I just don't see how that's going to happen.
Not easily, not quickly, not just from a zero start here. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you some other ones, and I don't want to squash their dream, but are you kidding me that you really can think you're going to do that?
I use this anecdote. Yeah. I tell them I love to sing.
You do? Okay.
I cannot sing. I have zero talent for singing. My father will tell you, do not let him sing, please.
All right. That was how we were going to end the show, but because I heard you like to sing, but I guess not today.
But, you know, it goes to show you that sometimes we have dreams and we have aspirations, but we need to bring more than dreams and aspirations in order to start a business and be committed, because it requires people to be committed, to do the work, to get up every day thinking, you know, today's the day when I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's really important. Resilience, it's a very important component when you go in business.
And it's the one component you bring to your work every day. You are committed to these people. You stick with them for as long as need be. And you get up and do the work every day, even when it's crazy or confusing, or they're desperate, or they're resistant, or they think they know what they're doing and it's clear they need some other help. You patiently guide them and help them. I watched you do it. My hat's off to you. No wonder you won an award, because you're really good at it.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate this. And, you know, and we should do more co-consulting, because it's been a while.
I'd love to. Yeah. Bring me something. Bring me a project you need some help with, particularly if it has something to do with podcasting or media or some other here.
Yeah. I'll bring some clients and we'll do a podcast in Spanish. How's that?
You know, that's a fascinating, boy, we could do a whole show on that, because I'll just a real quick aside. I have this thing, OC Talk Radio. I'm trying to be a community voice for businesses. And yet the community is made up of more than just people that look like me. So I keep saying we have a large Hispanic community, a large Vietnamese community, a large Persian community. Should we be doing podcasts in other languages? More and more, I think the answer is yes. I don't think we'd even attempt to tap into that. We assume that English is the only language for storytelling today and for business marketing. And yet if you really want to directly, if your target is a specific group of people, then speak to them in their own language. And I would love to. I've always thought we should do more, or Spanglish, you know, a combination of something here, something that speaks to them in that. I totally believe in that. And I don't think enough of that's happening. So bring me somebody. We'll pioneer. We'll be the first here.
You got it.
Okay. All right. How do they reach you or get in touch with you if they want to find out more, if they want to work with you? They think you're the guy to help them specifically. Usually just get assigned to people. The center sends you where they think you're needed. But if somebody wants to reach out and said, I heard Hugo, he's the guy for me, how do they reach you?
So they could definitely contact our lead center and just ask for a consultant by name. And they have the ability to see what we have available in our calendars and schedule an appointment. So my name is Hugo, and spell H-U-G-O. Mm-hmm. And my last name is Loyola, like the university, but we have nothing in common.
I was going to say, I was afraid to ask. Maybe this was your ancestors founded it.
Right. So if you want to send me an email, just use my first name, period, my last name, at OCIESBDC.org.
Well, you would be hard-pressed to find a better person to work with. If you're looking for a generalist, you need to refine this idea. You need to figure out how to take a dream and turn it into reality, which means some concrete steps and some hard questions and some ideas and expertise that you hadn't thought of before. Hugo can help you put that picture together and start to shape it into something. He's done it for years. He does it with many, not just those who speak Spanish as a first language, but across the board. And really, if you want to get started with somebody, reach out, see what they can do. Because the amazing thing is, how much do you charge for all this? I don't think you charge anything here.
Well, I do not charge anything, because SBDC offers these consulting services at no cost. And we do this thanks to grants that we receive. We receive a grant from the Small Business Administration.
Right.
Out here in Southern California, we also get a grant from the Governor's Office for Business and Economic Development, called GOBIS. Mm-hmm. So that pays for our consulting fees.
And the only give back they ask is report back to us so we can go back to our funders and say, look, here's some tangible metrics. They grew their sales by so much, they increased their staff by so many, or they secured additional financing. If we could show those three, yes, we're thrilled you like us and you say it helped and hooray. But if we can show some tangible results, that's what really a growth agency is. Mm-hmm. We need to show growth.
And I want people who are listening to your podcast to think about us as an agency, really.
Right.
We are a consulting agency, and we work with partners, city partners, county partners. Mm-hmm. We have access to partners in the financial industry. If you have a business idea, if you're thinking that this probably is the time you want to test, bring that idea with you. Talk to one of us. We'll be happy to help you figure it out.
Well, and you do over and over and over again. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Profit Talks. Hugo Loyola, look him up, check him out, and call him up. And not only when you're getting ready to start, when you're ready to grow. That's the one. Don't wait till the end. It's like, oh, I'm desperate. Now what can I do? There's only so much can be done at the end here. It's that opportunity in the middle that I think most of us miss. Thank you so much, Hugo Loyola.
Gracias, Paul.
All right. Well, there you have it.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.